It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, and iHeartRadio. Jason Kahn, producer number seven, here as well. We'll post the Circa props that I bet, Jason, yes? Newsletter? Will we do that?
Mm-hmm. We'll make it happen.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll do that. Let's post a baseball pick as well. Good start to the season here, pre-flop. I am taking the Brewers tonight over the San Diego Padres. And this is just basically based on the price more than anything. Brewers are, well, it's a late game, by the way. It's the 10-10 start, if you will, in San Diego. Musgrove against Woodruff, 10-10, by the way, Eastern, 7-10 Pacific. And the Brewers are plus 135. I'm taking that number. Brandon Woodruff and Joe Musgrove, both with great numbers already this year. In the case of Woodruff on the short season, it's a 1.57 fielding independent and a 2.68 XFIP, which looks real good. Been a little fortunate on the BABIP for sure, but 29.2% K rate, 4.6% walk rate, takes nothing away from Joe Musgrove. Couple starts removed from a no-hitter, which was almost a perfect game. HBP, of course, torpedoed that, but also for him, 1.73 fielding independent at 1.86 XFIP. His BABIP has been ridiculously fortunate, though, 154, and hasn't let a single man score. He stranded everybody so far this year. So a lot has gone his way, obviously, the no-no thrown in there as well. 35.8% K rate, 3% walk rate. Both pitchers have really not played great competition thus far in the early going. But this is just basically based on price and the fact that Musgrove has been a little more fortunate than Woodruff. So the play is on the Brewers at plus 135 tonight.
Maybe a letdown spot for the Padres after their big series as well, kind of in between Dodgers series.
Did you watch any of those games, Jason?
I did. They were fantastic.
It was like, I mean, you hate to use the cliche for April, right? But a playoff atmosphere with minimal crowd, right?
Yeah, felt like it. All three games were great, except the Dodgers bullpen in the third game. The Dodgers bullpen is just going to be a wild card all season.
Well, all the way through Kenley Jensen, it's going to be a wild card. And let's bring in let's start there with my mishpucha, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook behind us, where we broadcast from, the lovely South Point Hotel. It's Chris Andrews, everybody. How you doing, Chrissy?
I'm doing fine, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So,
by the way, you take 140 on that Brewers game right at that counter that's right behind you.
Oh, I'll head on after the show and I'll grab the plus 140. I'll send Jason.
Okay.
I'll send Jason out there in between breaks in case nobody is taking it until then, because I don't want to wait till after the show with some of these. But I like the price on that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Plus 140. Better at the South Point. Let's start with the Dodgers. So the Dodgers end up losing yesterday, which kind of sucked for this segment, because I told Vinny on Friday, I was like, I'm definitely going to ask Chrissy on Monday to talk about a suggested prop. Now I'm not so sure we can even do this. But the hope was that they would be 14-2. Instead, they're 13-3 because they lost the Padres yesterday. But at 14-2, I could have said, all right, they're exactly on pace for 35-5, which is where the Tigers started in 1984. Might you have come up with a prop to beat that? Now it's sort of ridiculous, even with just one extra loss, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking such a fine line. I mean, one loss means quite a bit. It'd be a huge price. I can tell you that. It'd be pretty darn big. But they're playing great ball, and they're certainly, favorite, I would say. Listen, once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. But they look like a slam dunk, probably. Although some Padre fans might disagree. Slam dunk to win the division. Then after that, they'll be pretty big favorites after that. But, it's baseball. A lot of things can happen. But they're certainly a big favorite right now.
Amuse me for a second, if you would. If they were 14-2, would you have taken me seriously on that prop? Might you have considered it?
Well, and you know how much I love you, Gil.
Yeah, I do. I know.
Take this for what it's worth.
Yeah.
When guys suggest props, I've gone on record saying, how much do you want to bet? Here's the money line chart that we use. I'll make a price somewhere within that money line chart. You can bet either way, but you must make a bet. And you're going to tell me now how much you want to bet.
I would do that.
It could be 100 or 2,000 or whatever it is. You know, we'll make the price. But you have to bet. You have to make it. You're going to put the money on the counter. She's going to count it, put it in her drawer. And right after that, you'll look at the price and you'll make a bet. And then you have a bet and I have a bet.
So I would have done
that. That's the way it's going to, you know, guys suggest. Okay, I know you would.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people do and have, and, you know, that's the way it's going to work. But you can't just say, give me this prop, and then, oh, okay, well, that's a good price. I'm not going to bet. Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, I wasted all the time working on it. Okay. You know, so tell me how much you want to bet, and we'll go from there.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook Director and author of Then One Day. Available where books are sold, but let's just say it's available at Amazon. That's where you can grab Then One Day. Let's get an update on your next project book-wise. Is that still in the works?
It's still in the works. It's with Anthony Curtis, and, you know, they're looking at it, and, you know, I hope they decide to publish it. But they're working on the editing and whatever. And, you know, the way they had told me, they were hoping to get it out by July. So we're still a little bit, you know, ahead of the pace here. But, you know, we'll see what they think about it. And ultimately, it'll be Anthony's decision whether we publish it or not. But hopefully they will.
Did you want to share with people again who missed it what it was about again?
Well, yeah, I don't mind sharing it. You know, I really wanted to make a year-long journal of kind of the ups and downs of a bookmaker, you know, kind of a whimsical look of, you know, some, you know, what I would call tragedies that are really kind of funny, you know, some wins and losses and that sort of thing. But 2020 was anything but funny, you know, so where I wanted to start and where I wound up was completely different. So I think it's one of those books that, you know, you're going to read some of this stuff and say, oh, yeah, I remember that. But, like, I think in years to come, you'll read that and say, oh, my goodness, I forgot that happened. Jeez, oh, my. You know, so it's really all from my perspective. And, listen, there's a lot of stuff that happened in 2020. Not much of it that good. But, you know, I think it was a good sort of a historical perspective. And I tried to inject as much humor as I could into it, but it was not a very humorous year, 2020.
No.
So there's a lot of stuff that happened.
But it's such a good point you make. By the way, Jason, working title, Then One Year. No, maybe not. It's so funny you said...
That's the working title, yeah, for sure.
Then One Year. Jason Kahn, copyright. It's funny you said that we forgot. Even when we did, when it was the 1 year... I hate to use the word anniversary, but it was when it was 1 year from the day where all the sports shut down, all the conference tournaments, and we played back audio from a year ago. We were so surprised at some of the stuff we didn't remember even from that day. Like, oh, yeah, then that sport shut down that morning, right, kind of thing. So it's like it's so much as you remember, there's just as much that you had, you know, that your brain purges. Your brain can't hold on to every little detail. We look forward to it. Hopefully the decision is made to publish that. Always with humor. That's the beauty of Then One Day, which is humorous, poignant, touching, thought-provoking. Just can't recommend it highly enough. Let me ask you, let's get a little uncomfortable here, perhaps, with NFL draft props. What are your plans for that?
Okay. I just talked to Lou Vargin. We're going to do them all tomorrow, whatever we're going to put out. And I know you're one of those guys that have done very well over the years with draft props. And if I may comment on the draft.
Please.
You know, we have yet to make a dollar booking this stuff.
Yeah.
It seems like people always know before the bookmakers do. And I've gone on record again to saying, if we make a dollar, I am going to go buy a bottle of champagne. I don't know if it's going to be Dom Perignon or Schwarzburg, which is one of my, it's actually a sparkling wine from Napa Valley, and drink the whole damn thing. I can tell you that. So that's what I'm going to do if we make a dollar. By the way, it's not on my shopping list because I don't expect to make any money. But I got more things to say about the draft, and people probably are not going to like it, but what the hell? We're on the radio, and let's talk about it. You know, number one, as a bookmaker, I don't like booking it because we have yet to make any money on it. Number two, it's not a sporting event. it's not an event. I like booking things that, you know, have some randomness to it, and there's some. But, I mean, I like to book things that have, you know, play on the field that'll determine the outcome. That's not what the draft is. People are making decisions, and that's the winner or loser, whatever. You know, so it's not a sporting event. Number three, the draft analysis is ridiculous. You know, at the end of the draft, they'll say, this team did great, this team did terrible. We should be analyzing last year's draft or 2 years ago's draft, not this year's. After it's done, and I'll tell you what, I remember, I tried to figure out the year. I think it was 2012. I remember after that draft, somebody said the Seahawks had the worst draft in history. It wound up being one of the best drafts in history, and they won a Super Bowl shortly thereafter because of that draft. And I remember when Josh Allen got picked. The Bills have no clue how to evaluate a quarterback. They picked this bum, Josh Allen. Oh, really? Well, yeah. And Patrick Mahomes goes in the second round, and then 2 years later, he's the great. You know, they might as well get his bust ready for Canton, because that's where this kid's going. And he went in the second round. Every team in the league passed on this kid.
No. Patrick Mahomes was a first rounder. But the general thing of what you're saying.
No, he wasn't.
Patrick Mahomes?
I don't think he was, Gil. I think
No. He was. He was a top 10. He was a 10th pick in the draft, if I'm not mistaken.
Kansas City traded up to him in a second.
Yeah. But the general. But still, the general. I mean, listen, that point you're making is 1,000% correct, though, right? Like, besides that one detail that you know about Mahomes. Everything you're saying is right, right? I believe Russell Wilson was picked in the third round in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, by Seattle. Yes. The draft is the draft itself is the most inexact science there is, right? Like, none of these guys who are paid to evaluate these players have any real clue how it's going to go. And then for those of us, and I'll just raise my hand as one of the us, who then have the audacity to come on afterwards and then to act like we know, right, is so ridiculous.
Sure.
You're 100% right about that. But let me ask you about the second point you made. Because I get it, what you said from your perspective from behind the desk is a valid one. It's not a sporting event, and so the randomness, a certain type of randomness is taken out of it that is, you know, inherent to every athletic event. Totally get your point. But, you know, and this is no newsflash to you, this is just an interesting conversation, obviously you see that the thirst for betting such a thing is out there. And as more jurisdictions come into play now, post PASPA being ruled unconstitutional, and other books that have more of a nationwide imprint offer, even some that don't have a nationwide imprint, as big a nationwide imprint, offer more and more of this. What is the, from your perspective here at the South Point, how do you deal with your opinion on it and the outside sort of thirst for it? Is there pressure on you to do more of it, or do you feel no pressure?
There is pressure to do it, you know, definitely, you know, because I there's things that I think, you know, in our business, unfortunately, you know, from my perspective, I mean, we have marketing running the sports book in a lot of ways. And this is one of the prime examples right here. You know, we don't make money on it, but we have to have. Well, you know, I mean, I grew up with, like I think about my Uncle Jack. And my Uncle Jack would say, I'll bet on anything that moves. Well, what's moving in this draft? I mean, there's nothing moving. There's people sending up an envelope to the commissioner. That's the only movement we actually have. You know, so, I mean, I'm from that old school. There's no doubt about it. But right now, we have, you know, things, and, you know, without mentioning names, there's certain companies want to get their prices out there. And, you know, the bottom line is not as important, you know, on that particular event as it is to market and bring in more customers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but it's not a smart thing to actually book. It really isn't. But, you know, listen, people want to bet it, and I understand filling in those gaps in the game has changed dramatically from when I moved out here in 1979. And like I said, if you ever did read my book, I grew up in a family, you know, with the, you know, gambling and bookmaking you know, was all just, you know, part of what we did, you know, what our family did. You know, so I understand it has greatly changed, but I do think the fact that it's not bottom line driven, it's more marketing driven, and that does bother me. But the fact is, I do have to adapt and have to go along with it. I don't particularly like it, but I understand I have to do it.
Yeah, and by the way, that was my favorite part of the book, by the way, is the tales from your childhood. Let me ask one last question in this same vein, and maybe this is a conversation you and I should have had off air. Maybe it's not one for air, but since we're having the conversation, you know, for giggles, do you beyond the draft? Because as you were saying that, the business term that came into my head was loss leader, right? And bookmakers are not used to having loss leaders, you know, something that is good for the long-term nature of the business, but not necessarily a winner short-term. So that was sort of one thing that came into my head. The other is, beyond the draft, as the world evolves and as Nevada gaming surely will evolve, the state of gaming in Nevada evolves moving forward, and there's more shops and there's more options, do you then have that thought sort of extended to, boy, what's it going to be like? Am I going to have to do, you know, to remain competitive, am I going to have to do all these other different things that I might not find as favorable?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And by the way, let me say, this is just, you know, pressure from the market. I don't get any pressure from Michael. Michael Gaughan, you know, he lets me pretty much do whatever I want. He's not telling me I got to put this up or that up. I can't think of once that he's done that. But I understand, you know, I mean, I'm this is my baby here, you know, so I'm trying to run this business the best way that I can. And there's some things involved that I do not like loss leaders, and I'm trying not to have any loss leaders. Although I know, like I said, this draft would be Exhibit A. So, there's some things I have to do with it, but I'm not crazy about it. You know, definitely not. By the way, Joe, I have one more point.
Please.
Do we have time?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. There shouldn't even be a draft. We have a salary cap, right? Why can't, like, you know, just pick a name, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, you know, whoever. I'm over talking quarterback. Why can't a guy say, you know what? I don't want to go to Jacksonville. I don't want to go to this. You know, I'd love to go play for Sean Payton. They need a quarterback. Why can't I just go there? You know, there's a salary cap. Every team could work within the structure of their salary cap to think of who they want to get, who they want to pay, how much they want to pay. Is it a left tackle? Is it a defensive end? Is it a quarterback, a running back? You know, just go right down the list. They all have to work in. And I'm sorry, and I could go that in every sport. That would take away Tankapalooza, because we know teams are tanking for their draft position. I don't think there should be a draft. Why? I mean, you know, is there a draft of software engineers? No. If you want to get hired by Apple, you go there, or, you know, Google, or Facebook, or wherever you want to go. And what we put these restrictions, I mean, these are young guys, young kids. And I think of some of these guys who, you know, wind up in terrible situations. Now, I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. He's with a horrible organization. Is that going to ruin his career? Might. I wouldn't be surprised. Look at Andrew Luck. You know, I love Andrew Luck. He went to the Colts. They did a horrible job around him. Wound up costing him a Hall of Fame career. Wound up costing us, too, as fans. I think we got robbed of maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, who retired at 29 years old because his offensive line couldn't protect him.
Well,
I don't think there should be a draft. That's one man's humble opinion.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation for another day, but I mean, I don't have to tell you.
Yes,
you know this better than I could ever know, is obviously the point of draft is to try to make the poor richer, right? And to try to level the playing field is obviously the point of the drafts. And so the fear would be what you're talking about is that it would just remain more status quo.
Well, we do have a salary cap. I mean, we have a salary cap that's doing that, you know, supposedly it's in place to do that.
Right. But if players could decide where they go, right, that kind of thing, they would be less likely to go to outposts, say, in bad football teams in less sexy outposts than they would be better football teams in finer, shall we say, urban environments that they might, might appeal to them more.
Once again, I disagree. Why, do we look at, forget USC and UCLA. They, you know, every kid doesn't necessarily want to go there. Or why isn't San Diego State and Hawaii? Why aren't they the best football teams? I mean, those are the best environments if you're looking at, you know, Green Bay's had, you know, as much success as any team in the history of this league. You know, they're way up. They talk about a lonely little outpost, but that's a well-run organization. You know, Aaron Rodgers may be having some trouble now, but he's been there 15 years. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I disagree with the whole thing. I really don't.
Well, like I said, that's a show for another day. We will go down that rabbit hole.
Yes, it is.
But let me just say this as we go to break. I really appreciate the honesty on the other stuff, Chrissy, as well, because that's a super, super transparent viewpoint, and not a lot of people would come on here and talk about it openly like that. So I think I speak on behalf of all listeners and say thank you for that. I really do, sincerely.
What the hell? I'm always known for being honest, even though it's gotten me in trouble a couple times. And I'll have more of that in my next book that's going to be Then Another Day.
And then,
more about that.
Then One Decade. Yeah, that kind of thing. Chrissy, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Gil. My pleasure.
At Andrews Sports is where you can follow Chris on Twitter. At Andrews Sports. Make sure to have the two S's in the middle there. We'll come back. Las Vegas Chris will join us. Talk about a whole bunch of betting topics, including bad beats and how knowing stuff sometimes is bad for you as a bettor. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, just like the man said, brought to you by BetMGM Nevada from Chrissy Andrews. And by the way, tweets, Martin says it best here. Chris Andrews is the best. Such a great listen. I could not agree more. Super honest. Thank you to Chrissy for coming on. From Chrissy Andrews to Las Vegas, Chris, multiple handicap winner here, handicapping contest winner here in Las Vegas through the years. Just finished second and fifth. How dare you not win? Second and fifth at Circa this past win. Chris, what's happening, man? Thanks for coming in studio.
Don't call me Chrissy.
No, I won't do that.
I got to tell you three things. The three guests you had on today, I really like. I've known Warren a long time.
And, Warren's great.
He's just awesome. He thinks at an entirely different perspective. And surprisingly enough, we never melted our minds together because I think he's got talents in areas that I don't. And I need to powwow with that guy.
He and Crack used to be together.
Yeah.
Little duo.
And I love that concept. Chris pointed out something very simple. There's a salary cap.
Yeah.
And it stops tanking. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's counter arguments to that, but it's one of those the concepts that people, when they first hear, they're like, ah, come on, because it's been so ingrained in them that this is the only way to do things, right? But it is anything that provokes thought. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't digest it.
Yeah.
But first impression, I'm like, that makes a hell of a lot of sense without digesting and thinking about, you know, the bad parts of it.
I thought his views on it from his perspective behind the betting desk were just as fascinating. You have a couple things you want to get to. One, would you like to say something to producer number 7, Jason Kahn, who could not reel off as many 1984 Tigers as you would have liked? You a Michigan kid as well?
Well, that's okay. The real problem was he put Frank Tanana on that team.
It was blasphemy. I apologize. 95 June he signed with the Tigers.
85.
85, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 85, the year after. All right, and then Andy McNeil, who was one of the guests earlier, you had something there as well.
Oh, I've been really getting into the NHL lately. You know, growing up in Detroit, I followed it religiously, and it is a difficult sport. And I see the difference has evolved where everybody's following all these metrics. And metrics, you're talking to the guy that runs NFL based on metrics. So
yes.
You don't need to convince me metrics are important, but I think that there's more to it than just metrics. I'm against him. I've been doing very well in NHL, but he likes that Minnesota, and I like the other side.
You like the other side.
I do.
You feel Andy is too metrics-y. if you will, too much into the analytics without stepping back?
Well, my perspective on that game was, yeah, Minnesota's the better team. But, hey, you've got a team fighting for the last playoff spot, and I feel hockey's an industry that builds on emotion on a win like that and just adds, exuberance. And the coach was interviewed during the intermission when they were down 2-0, and he's like, oh, we're going to win this game, okay? If you've got that kind of confidence and that's the way you're running your house, so to speak, boy, that's a team I'm going to kind of look at. And when you look at where Minnesota is in the division, they're not going to change spots. They're locked in on that three hole. So, they don't really, have to be focused. I mean, they're going to come and they're going to play and they're the better team. But, if you're going to give me 140 at home, I'm going to take that.
Do you watch hockey at all, or do you just make your bet and go away?
Well, yeah, I have been watching.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Frustrating.
This is what makes sports betting endlessly fascinating, and is why I decided to do a podcast on it so many years ago, over a decade ago, because I could talk about every aspect of it endlessly. And no one has been more successful than you in handicapping contests. And here you are, I've always said there's a spectrum, right? There's the most math-based guy on one side. There's the most smoke and mirrors guy on the other side. And there's a whole spectrum of bettors in between. And one of the only things that I feel, the biggest thing I feel privileged about through the years is I've gotten to talk to more of those people on the spectrum than maybe most. And what my conclusion in the end is that oftentimes the answer is somewhere in the middle. And you have been a great sort of representative of that. We got to go to break here shortly, but when we come back, I want to talk about the notion of, because you're sort of landing on hockey here this year. I want to talk about the notion of landing on something late-ish. Not late-ish, maybe that's not the right word, but perhaps being able to remove some of the noise that others have had to experience prior to that. Do it through the prism of the Oscars, which are coming up this Sunday. And then I want to talk about bad beats with you as well. We have like 25 different things we could talk about here. Las Vegas Chris, kind enough to join us in studio on a Monday morning right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's more to talk about as well, but we'll start with those two. Coming right back.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With all the spring sports betting action, you need the VSiN experts to stay ahead of the game. The best place to start is VSiN.com, where we're covering baseball, the NHL and NBA playoff races, the NFL draft, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. While you're there, get all the latest Vegas odds, check out our bet tracker, and parlay calculator tools, read in-depth articles from our team, including betting strategies from basic to advanced theory, and you can also listen to our VSiN shows 24/7 for free. Start your daily betting at VSiN.com, and while you're there, check out our subscription options, starting at just $22 per month. That's just $22 per month. Las Vegas Chris is here. Won the Palms NFL contest so many years ago. The win. I'm doing this off memory now, Chris. Last man standing college football. Finished second and fifth here at Circa. It's just when you enter handicapping contests, NFL or college football handicapping contests in Vegas, know that you're up against this man. He also has things to say about other subjects. What were you saying off air about pizza? What was this?
Don't get me started.
Just 30 seconds on pizza. What is
no tomato sauce on pizza?
Oh my God.
That's not enough time, 30 seconds to have this argument.
Really?
Here are the reasons why.
Okay.
The tomato traditionally is used to camouflage other flavors. Mm-hmm. So they put it on rancid meat back in the day. Anyway, if you like a pizza with lots of items, the tomato sauce camouflages all the other flavors. I mean, if you just like a plain pizza or one-item pizza, I can kind of see it. Two other issues. The tomato sauce is always at a different temperature. That's how you're going to burn your mouth and your teeth, and it drives you nuts for a day. And that's also the reason why all the crap slides off your pizza when you bite into it.
I didn't expect to have a show where we where someone advocated for no NFL draft and no tomato sauce on pizza, but here we are. Here we are.
You got to think outside the box.
By the way, Domino's and Pizza Hut responsible for how Americans view pizza historically. I just saw a whole show about it. Like, pizza was one thing in Italy, and then when it was brought to the United States, it was just randomly the Domino's founders and the Pizza Hut founders just decided to do whatever they wanted to do and feed it to the Americans. The Americans like, oh, this is pizza. Had nothing to do with
it. I went to, the first time I was in Italy, I ordered a pizza, and it ended up with a raw egg in the middle. So I didn't do something right.
All right, so let's talk about something that we were just talking about before, which is you just sort of got into hockey now. You're known as a football bettor, but you're betting a lot of hockey. The Oscars are this coming weekend. They're Sunday night. And you did 90 minutes on this subject where you are historically, you're an Oscars bettor. You can tell us about your Oscars chops because you bet this stuff every year. But you haven't bet any this year as a whole.
Well, that's changed, but
now you have.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you bet? Let's start there.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I know, but what I'm going to say applies to other small markets. So that's why I want to bring it up, because I don't think anybody cares about the Oscars this year anyway, whether it be for they just never made it to a movie theater or the politics or whatever.
None of us went to a movie theater.
Right. So yeah. I have seen every single Best Movie nominee for the last 10, 12, 13 years. This year, I had not seen any of the Best Movie nominees until last night. I saw Minari.
That's the only one that I saw on this whole list. By the way, Nomadland, prohibitive favorite at minus 700. Trial of the Chicago 7 is the next short shot at 6-1. There's Minari at 14-1. Minari is the only one I saw of this group, Chris. And I will tell you, I enjoyed that film. But not for one second did I say Best Picture.
No, exactly. There were a couple parts of that movie that were brilliant, but not enough.
Yeah.
So,
but say what you wanted to say, because this is interesting.
Specifically for the Oscars, everything has completely changed over the last 5 years. You can't treat it the same way. So if you casually bet the Oscars in years past, you can't necessarily depend on the typical results that you have been able to count on. The Oscar voting process has changed significantly. 5 years ago, there were 6,000 members. 6,200 members voted 5 years ago. Now they're up to 9,600 members, and they have specifically chosen minority demographics, extra women, extra foreign people, 68 different countries have added members of the voting public, and now they're actually excluding people that used to be able to vote. And they're also including people that you might recognize from TV, but you don't recognize from movie, you know, from the movies. So a lot of things have changed, and they've even changed what qualifies a movie to be able to be nominated for Best Picture.
Hmm.
So they're putting in criteria now.
Specifically what? I'm interested in that.
They are requiring that your movie has to meet at least two of four minority inclusion qualifications. So you're basically looking at a scenario where previous Oscar winners would not be able to qualify to be nominated. I thought I saw a list somewhere, and I tried to look for it before I did the podcast, but I couldn't find it. But so those are the concerns. Is it's a small market.
You're just trying to win bets. For those who are listening or are like, wait, through the prism of trying to win bets, you have to know about the voting demographic. Interesting. Okay.
Well, this is what you have to do with all, right. And this is where it applies to other small markets. Small markets are, if you take the time and the trouble to really research it, that's where you're going to make your money. You're not going to make your money unless you have some no-brainer math model in the NFL.
Right.
But I'm just kidding. Yeah. Small markets are where you exploit the sports books. So it applies to all other one-way markets. The Oscars are one-way betting. And the draft is one-way betting. Season win totals, one-way betting. So everybody knows something, but And they've done the research, and that's what you have to do. And so those are some of the I'm giving an example of how most people don't even realize all these changes have happened. But, boy, that's going to make a huge difference potentially.
Yes.
And now you've completely shifted from old white people, from their perspective, to a heavy millennial minority-based voting group having a big, significant impact. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, no, that's obviously, if you're betting the Oscars, that is something you have to know. What did you bet so far?
You know, I took a flyer. I saw an article in Vegas Insider today on the Oscars, actually, on picks. And so I opened it up just wondering what could they possibly come up with. And I actually liked the Andra Day pick at plus 600. Because she played Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen the movie, but that touches on another subject of people being able to bet things without knowing the players and without knowing anything. Sometimes you can read a market and make an educated wager just based on where the numbers have been flowing and the value you're getting in different parts of it. So
we'll go to break here. Andra Day, best actress, right around 6-1.
Yeah,
6-1. So the fourth out of five shots right there from the United States versus Billie Holiday. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this and bad beats. Chris has something to say about that, too. I got something to say as well. Right here, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 moneyline wager on the Bucks or Suns in tonight's game. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details and use promo code VSIN100 to bet $1 and win $100 if either team hits a three. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, rather, in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Skill Alexander, once again, I'm on the Brewers tonight. Have that cross-sport moneyline parlay with the Dodgers, big favorites against the Mariners, also with the Wizards, and the last of which, again, going against tanking teams in the NBA, the Wizards taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, also taking the Heat, taking on the Rockets tonight. Alex Smith has just announced he's retiring on Instagram. Alex Smith, who was the first pick in the NFL draft out of Utah, and then was subsequently benched later in his career for Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, had a fine career in San Francisco, then went to the Chiefs, had a fine career before Patrick Mahomes came along in Kansas City, moved on to Washington, and then had the horrific injury against the Houston Texans, which required 17 surgeries. And an arc of that injury that almost required his leg to be amputated. The fact that he was able to come back from that injury to even walk, to even have his leg intact, to even walk, then let alone get back on a football field and start football games, 1 week of which this past year he actually led the NFL in passing yards, 390 yards. Alex Smith announcing he is retiring from the NFL on Instagram, and you can only say, have a great rest of your life with your wife and your kids and all that money. What a absolute unbelievable story. NFL comeback player of the year, Alex Smith. In studio, Las Vegas, Chris with us. Multiple handicapping contest winner here in Las Vegas. And off air, all you want to do is talk pizza. What do you say is the future of pizza? What did you say it was?
I think the best concept there is one price for everybody.
And you think this is a business model that could work?
Yeah, of course it's going to work. Everybody likes to have a little this, a little that. They don't want to spend $2 an item to get a little splash of onion, a little splash of this, a little splash of that.
And those exist here in Vegas, too,
yeah,
right?
They're all over the place now.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a quality issue. I mean, you can't have crap items, obviously. But I think a lot of people want their own exact pizza, and they don't want to spend $2 to get a pinch of garlic or a pinch of this and a pinch of that. They'd like their vegetables, but they don't want to spend the money, you know, and all of a sudden an $8 pizza becomes $16.
You are making me so hungry.
Yeah.
Okay. Bad beats. Scott Van Pelt has done a wonderful job, SVP, on his sports center on bringing this concept to the fore. For those who are not necessarily big gamblers, maybe even people who don't gamble at all, are familiar with the term now. Casual gamblers getting a dose of it every week on his show. He does a spectacular job, he and Stanford Steve, with it. You had a comment about bad beats that you wanted to make.
Well, what's the purpose of the line? The line is supposed to create equal betting and, in theory, is going to be close to what the result is probably going to end up. I mean, and aren't they supposed to be close to the lines?
I hear what you're saying, but it makes for an entertaining, fun segment,
but
right?
I mean, I cannot. I've had one of the worst stretches of betting. I was on it could even be longer than that, but I just know I had 8 days in a row of 1-3 really ridiculous losses. And it could be longer than that because I could just go back mentally and remember that. It happens every freaking day. It's like, why fill up anybody's timeline with your bad beats? Are you kidding me?
Well,
it's they're supposed to be close to the line.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's make the distinction. I brought up the SVP segment as someone who brought it to the fore, so I don't want to, like, you know, crowbar that into the conversation. What they do is great because it's super entertaining to watch how these bad beats materialize. What you're talking about is like Twitter timelines and stuff. I couldn't agree more. No one cares about your bad beats. We all have them. My comment about bad beats, I want to get back to your bad streak in a minute. But my comment about bad beats has been this, and I'm curious if you agree or disagree with this. If you are good at what you do, let's take you and let's take the NFL. You in the NFL. Do you think that you, because you're good, will have more bad beats than someone who is not good at betting the NFL just by virtue of the fact that you're going to have more opportunities to beat that line, even if it's just by a little bit, by one score? Whereas a person who is just, let's say, the worst handicapper in the world, being extreme now, is going to have fewer bad beats. So in other words, to me, in some respects, it could be a sign of actually being good at what you do because you're just going to be around that number more. You're going to win more easily too, but even some of your middling ones and on the other side, you're just going to be around that number more.
Well, I get a lot of followers that make fun of me because I usually don't watch the games. I mean, I consider wagers that I place wins. I'm not wasting my money on something I don't think that's going to, you know, that it's not going to win. So why do I need to sit there and get validation or torture for, you know, on how I lost? I mean, obviously you have to have a working understanding of the games, and watching certain sports provides more value to that than others.
I think about you often, by the way, that you say, why go through the aggravation? Like, as I'm going through the aggravation of bets, I think of you a lot. I'm like, Chris isn't watching this right now.
My philosophy, and I believe this to be true, I don't care what you do, what you say, 50% of these games, you can look at a stat sheet and you can't figure out who won.
Yeah.
50% of these games are, you wasted your time handicapping them. Yeah. And there's no way of telling in advance, you got to handicap them all, but 50% of the results were a complete and utter waste of your time.
Is it only 50%?
I'm saying at least 50%.
At least 50%. Yeah, because, and I think you're right, and what we see in the gambling world is, if the result in those 50% of games, if the result goes the let's just take Joe average better. If the result goes his or her way, there is oftentimes chirping involved in it. And if it doesn't go their way, there's often, oh, this is why I didn't win. When in fact, it's all just one big soup of, it was a coin toss the whole way through. You shouldn't be chirping if you won. You shouldn't be that sad if you lost. You just probably shouldn't have played that game.
Well, that's, you know, and that was very scary, this NFL. I mean, these referees, mm-hmm. I've never, ever really let refereeing enter my thought process, or, you know, pouting about them or anything like that. But for gosh sakes, there were game after game after game, they were affecting decisions all last season. I don't know what, you know, I hope it doesn't continue, but.
You said you went through, you've gone, you are going through currently, or maybe you just went through one of the worst streaks of your existence.
Oh yeah.
I think it's great because someone as successful as you have been and have won as much money. How much did you win this past year in contests?
$256 million, I think.
Cool quarter million. Even you, right? And people need to know this. There is no better in the world, better OR, who doesn't go through this. If you've bet long enough, it will happen to you. But this is the worst of all time. And what do you attribute it to? Anything? Just randomness?
Well, it wasn't for lack of effort. I mean, honestly, you would not believe I was working 15, 17-hour days. Seriously.
Yeah.
Every day. And I'm not usually here during the summers. I usually take off. So I was kind of a kid in the candy store where, okay, what am I going to work on here? And I've got a great network of, you know, resources to get information. I have an interest in any, you know, in ways to make money. And I have an interest in all the different sports. So, you know, one of the mistakes that I made was to try to do too much to try to find something that was good. Because I had in the back of my mind, well, you know, I can multitask. I'm willing to work, you know, day and night, you know, whatever it takes. So I can, you know, do a little this, do a little that. And that was probably a bad mistake because I didn't want to narrow myself. Okay, I'm only going to work on hockey or I'm only going to work on basketball. So
are you worried? So as someone who your football's your bread and butter, are you worried that because you didn't travel this off season, and I guess you have no plans to do so, are you worried that you're almost going to know too much as opposed to going into football seasons, you know, hey, I'm coming back from Asia. I know nothing. Let me just do my process. It works for me. Now you have all this stimuli for April, May, June, July, drafts and free agency. You're hearing more things than you've ever heard before. Instead of being, you know, on a completely different continent doing whatever you do, are you worried about your upcoming season because of that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I haven't been here for a summer since 2005. So every single NFL season, I'm going in completely blind. And I literally know a handful of names in the league outside of the Stars. So I believe that it can work against you to have predispositions. That's why I worry, am I going to do NFL season win totals? Because is it going to, you know, nag me in the back of my mind that I don't want to go against the Vikings this week because I subconsciously want to bet that something that fits your entire psychological narrative that you want that'll just make you all happy-go-lucky with the roses in the garden type atmosphere.
You don't want your season-long bets influencing your bets, whether unconsciously or not, week to week in the NFL. I totally get it.
Possibly, but. Yeah, I mean, I certainly would not, probably not bet big money on NFL season wins.
But you just don't want it in your mind at all.
No, I think how, and I've said this before, and it's a secret, and you'll hear it, but you won't do it. And that is, I think one of the best things that I do is I don't make decisions until I have to make decisions. You know, as often as possible.
It's very interesting because I said it before March Madness. I said, I think I'm almost at an advantage not having watched as much college basketball as everybody else. Chris, we got to run. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Lombardi Line is next. Michael Lombardi coming back. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.